Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on hoopfeed.com.
Hey, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin'. And we got a couple of red-hot coaches going on right for you today. First up, we're going to talk a little Big Ten basketball, get ready for the NCAA tournament with a guy that's got a team really rolling and really surprising people to an extent this year, Kevin McGuff of Ohio State. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Coach, you know, you had high expectations coming in this year. Well, first of all, coming off of last year, the team had the losing record, didn't make it to postseason. What were your realistic goals for this year coming into the start of the season?
Well, we certainly we knew we had a really young team, and before the season started, we had a lot of injuries, and we had to dismiss a key player from our team. So one of the goals we set was we figured we'd be better later in the year with playing some of the young people. So the first goal we had was to be among the top four teams in our conference at the end of the year, which would allow us to receive a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. And we were able to achieve that. We were the three seed. And then we also had the goal of winning the Big Ten tournament. And so we competed great in the tournament. Our kids played really, really hard, but we fell short there to an excellent Maryland team.
You know, and as you mentioned, you know, you hit a 2-week span in back in at the start of the season. You know, you lost Holland, Chelsea Mitchell, and Waterman all with pretty severe injuries, and you know that takes the wind out of your sails fast. But what was pretty impressive to me was, you know, you set the long range goals, but you guys came out and really didn't struggle too much coming out of the gate. I mean, you guys, even with all the new talent and things like that, you know, Georgia's tough always, Virginia, you know, a road game in Virginia in your second game. But, you know, it wasn't like you just came out there and started spinning your wheels.
No, and that's what I think. I think our players, you know, they had some questions early on. Could we do it with this few people and so forth? But once we started playing and we started to have a little bit of success and we started competing against some really, really good teams, even through some of those losses, I think we learned valuable lessons. Our kids had to grow up in a hurry. And as the season went on, we really started to gain a lot of confidence in what we could be at the end of the year. And I'll also tell you, I've never been around a team that's improved throughout the season more than this one. I mean, our kids really, really worked hard on a daily basis, and really, you know, we emphasized, let's just get a little bit better this week. And we've made a lot of progress, and that's probably what I'm most proud of to this point in the season, is just how much better we've got.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, other than the one game in the Virgin Islands, which we can certainly write off for a number of reasons because it's the Virgin Islands, you know, you guys were within 10 points of every single game. There were no blowouts. You know that, you know, and you responded after losing that game to Wichita State by coming back and beating, you know, now everybody knows, a really strong Florida Gulf Coast team in double overtime.
Yeah, no, that was you know, I think that trip was really important for us for a lot of reasons. One, going back to, we didn't have great numbers, but we were able to beat, on day three, we were able to beat an excellent Florida Gulf Coast team. I mean, they are really good. They're really well coached and a hard team to play against. And I really think our kids, once we came out of that, we kind of said, hey, if we can play three games in 3 days and have success, then we can certainly, you know, have a great season. And we finally kind of put to bed the idea of, you know, not having enough people or the injuries catching up to us. I think we kind of really set our mind to, hey, we're not going to change the style of play. We're not going to change the expectations. We're going to go week by week, day by day, game by game, and until we come out of this season with what we want.
You know, and no question about it, you know, you like to play an up-tempo style. You know, one of the things that I've always enjoyed going back to your days, you know, with Xavier and then out west, you know, you like to push the tempo, and I'm sure the players love to play that. And, you know, you've got a backcourt there, a combination, you know, with, you know, Mitchell and Alston that are just meant for your style of play. And while I'm sure you wouldn't have minded dividing the shots up with a little among a few different players, but you got to run with the horses you got, right?
That's right. And, you know, we feel like, I'm very, very fortunate to have what I think is the best backcourt in college basketball. You know, Kelsey Mitchell's had an amazing year. She's a really special young woman. She plays so hard. She shows up every day and just does whatever she can to improve herself in her game. And then Amherst Alston, who had a great year last year, and then was really good with welcoming in Kelsey and finding a way to make sure they could play together and help each other be successful. And the thing I like about both of them, they make others around them better, and they make each other better. And they push and challenge each other on a daily basis. And it's really been fun to see their chemistry evolve throughout the season. And they're fun to coach, and I think for a lot of people, they're fun to watch play.
Yeah, I mean, combined, they take 51% of the team shots, the two of them. So you're giving them the green light, and they're taking advantage of it. But, you know, people are very quick, it seems, that people on the outside are very quick to say, oh, someone's a volume shooter, and use it as a disparaging comment. But, you know, you look at the shooting percentages that these two ladies have, and you're not going to get a much better attempt at the basket than one of them shooting.
No question. And you know, people use that term volume shooter, but like we play a really fast style of play. And so we get a lot of shots. We have a lot of possessions. We don't turn it over much. We create turnovers on the defensive end. And so all of our kids, for example, Amherst Alston's a great example of, you know, Kelsey comes in and she's averaging 25 points a game. Well, you know, Amherst is also averaging more than she averaged last year when she was our leading scorer. And she was, I don't know where she is right this second, but for most of the year, she was the third leading scorer in the Big Ten. So anyway, we get, just by virtue of our style of play, we get a lot of shots at the basket. And you know, I think it's a really fun, exciting style of play that's going to continue to evolve. And I think in the years be even faster when we can add more people to the program that can play this in this system.
Yeah, I mean, you get like almost over 60 shots a game. So you're definitely getting them up there. Now, one of the things that had to be nice also in the tournament was the way that Alexa Hart stepped up, playing against some bigger players, and you know, did a really nice job inside, getting some important rebounds and playing against some talented big people, you know, such as Breonna Jones of Maryland.
Yeah, she, you know, when we recruited Alexa, I was really excited to have her in the program because I thought, you know, she's long and athletic and she had a lot of potential. But I think as much as Kelsey's been spectacular and Amherst has been great, we've had a lot of people play well, I think one of the biggest keys to our success down the stretch has been Alexa. I mean, she has come so far so quickly in this year, and I give my staff a lot of credit for working with her, and I give her a lot of credit for how hard she's working to improve herself. But just her presence around the basket, offensively and defensively, she really, really runs the floor. And you don't see a lot of post players run the floor like she does. But she has had an amazing year, and I just couldn't be more proud of what she's accomplished so far and more excited about the things she's going to be able to do in the future.
You know, Kelsey Mitchell, you mentioned about what a spectacular year she's had, and we all know about this. If you're listening to this show, you certainly know about who Kelsey Mitchell is. You know, top 15, you know, on the Wooden Award, finalist for all of the point guard awards. Has she even exceeded your expectations for her for this year?
Yeah, you know, I knew she'd be really special. I mean, I've been watching her for so long. I knew she'd have an incredible impact right away. but she really has. I mean, she's been so, so good. And she's gotten better. I think she just, in the beginning, you could tell she was going to be a great player, but she had to adjust a little bit to college. She had to adjust to our system and our style and all that type of stuff, and she's done all that. And she's such a student of the game. She's such a great kid, too. I mean, she just shows up every day, and it's really all she has one thing on her mind. What can I do to help this team win? I mean, she's a real winner. She's such a hard competitor, so it's just been really fun to see, and I knew she'd be special, but she's even been better than I thought she'd be. And you know, in my eyes, she's one of the best players in the country, not freshmen, just best players in the country, period. And so it's going to be fun. I know one thing, she's going to be relentless about trying to get better and improve herself and doing everything she can to make, you know, our program one of the best in the country.
You know, Coach, it just seems that the younger players are getting better and better each year. I mean, you look at your team, you know, with the age that you've got, you look at some of these other teams in conference, and then, you know, the other guest on the show this week, Kim Mulkey's team is, you know, got four sophomores that are dominating. You know, this has just been, you know, quite interesting, at least for me, to see how they're coming out of high school. It seems a little bit better equipped than for a long time.
Yeah, no, I think it's exciting. I mean, we need it in college basketball. We need it, you know, to continue. I think it goes back to I think in, you know, high school and AAU, there's better coaches nowadays, and they're, you know, preparing them and helping them grow and develop younger than we've done in the past. And so it's great to see. But I'm excited to see so many good young players in college basketball. I think it's important for us to continue to grow the game. We got to get the right kids in here, and these kids are good and they're fun to watch, and it's just creating more interest in women's basketball, which is awesome.
Well, you know, I heard the McGuff family has got, you know, five strong ready to step in and be starters the next year.
Yeah, well, I have four daughters, and two sons. But so someday hopefully we can get one of them in the program. But right now they're content to go on the trips with us and be kids. But, yeah, that's keeping me busy off the court, that's for sure. But it's been a lot of fun having them around.
You know, I forgot about number six. I mean, well, with you,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, it, next time we talk, it'll probably be seven.
Well, no, it's not going to be seven, but, yeah, you got to keep up.
Coach, you know what was one of the best things that I noticed about the tournament is, and I'm sure that it didn't get lost on you, was the fact that, you know, the first two rounds, Minnesota, Iowa, and then unfortunately not Maryland, those were revenge games. And it's always nice when you drop a game during the regular season to somebody to come back in the tournament and get that retribution.
No question. You know, the first game, you know, we played Minnesota. They have a really good team, and they have some just really good post players. Amanda Zowie-Bee and Shea Kelly, they're really good players. And when we had played them in the middle of the year, they beat us, and they played really well against us. But I had told our team, I said, hey, we're playing Minnesota. We're better. We're way better than we were at that point. And our kids played really well in that game. It was a great win. Then we played Iowa, who's also another really good team. I think Iowa's got a chance to really make a run in the NCAA tournament. They're a really, really potent offensive team, and they have some seniors that are really motivated to play well at this time of year. And we had lost to them in Iowa City in a hard-fought game. Then we beat them at our place. And so I knew they would be motivated to come back and try to beat us since we had just beaten them a few weeks earlier. But that was a great game. It was a great, great basketball game. And, you know, for us to be able to beat them was huge. And then, you know, versus Maryland. Maryland's great. They're really talented. They were the one team in the league that had a lot of depth. And so they were a little bit harder to play against, and they went undefeated. But our kids played really hard, and we competed. And it was great to see us be down and come back and fight and scratch and claw to the very end. And, you know, ultimately lost to a great team. But I think it's going to be fun to see a lot of these teams in the NCAA tournament, because I think they can really fare well.
Yeah, but how can that be? I mean, the Big Ten is supposed to always be down in the weakest of the Power Five conferences. How can you guys have so many teams in the tournament? I didn't think that was allowed anymore for the Big Ten.
I know. It's funny. Perception's funny. But I can tell you, having just gone through it, we have a lot of really good teams, and I think we're going to fare very well.
And there's no question that adding Maryland and Rutgers to the mix, you know, certainly increased even more the abilities of the women's basketball division of the Big Ten, because those are two very strong programs with two outstanding coaches.
Very, very, very. That was great. Now, I think one of the things, like, we've had one of the deepest conferences in terms of everybody's good and it's a battle every night. What we've kind of lacked here recently is sort of a team that's fared really well in the NCAA tournament. And so that bringing Maryland in, who just went to the Final Four, and is in the midst of a great season, it helped, you know, kind of enhance the profile of the league. And then Rutgers, who's got, you know, a Hall of Fame coach and amazing talent in their program, and they've been incredibly successful. That really helps our league. And then, you know, hopefully, and I think we have a lot of good young players, and hopefully we're one of the new programs that can, you know, be relevant nationally as we kind of move forward here the next couple of years.
How cool did it feel to hear about that number 23 and number 24 ranking coming out?
It was good. I mean, I think, you know, as most coaches, we don't get caught up in that too much, but it is a great reward for our players who've worked incredibly hard and seem to be playing our best basketball here at the end of the year.
and especially since it's been a while since Ohio State made an appearance in those polls.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've made a lot of progress here, and I think it's a reflection of that. And like I said, ultimately, it's great for our players because they've worked hard and they've earned that recognition.
All right, Najee, now to wrap things up, here's your final chance. Put out the plea to the committee. Where do you think you should be seated, and where do you want to go?
You know what? I'm not.
Here comes the cliches.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not very good at this because I really, really don't pay attention to it much throughout the year. I know a lot of coaches say that. I actually don't. I don't know. I mean, I think we could be as high as a four, maybe probably a five, maybe, I don't know, I think a six at worst. So I think somewhere in that range. And I think if you look at our whole body of work, that we probably fall in there somewhere. And I'm not going to get too caught up in where or who, and I'm just excited that we're going to be a part of it, about the opportunity. And, you know, on Monday we're going to get an opponent and a path, and we're going to go back to work and practice and prepare and go from there.
Well, I think it's going to be great to see you guys back in the tournament. And like you said, you know, if the tournament, if the committee does as they say they usually do and looks at the later body of work more than the early body of work, then there is no question that this team should be a higher seed than a lower seed. So I think that there's a good possibility that that will be the case. Coach, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, you know, and congratulations on a great season so far, and good luck in the NCAA tournament. It's great to see Ohio State back.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
Hi, this is Muffet McGraw, head coach at the University of Notre Dame, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the next segment here on Dishin' and Swishin' this week. And we're getting ready for the NCAA tournament, and we're talking to coaches that are definitely going to make a run to the Final Four. And I'm pleased to welcome back to Dishin' and Swishin' for the first time in a couple of years, Kim Mulkey. Welcome back. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Coach, it's been a phenomenal year. Now, if you know, you sit back and you take a look, and if we could take away 4 days in February, we're talking number one seed.
Well, I'm not sure that had we even run the table if we would be worthy of a one seed, but we would at least have been in the conversation, and I can't believe what this basketball team has done this year. We lose All-American Odyssey Sims. We have one senior returning. Roles have to change this year. And for them to do what they've done, it's been pretty amazing, really. And I certainly, as their coach, didn't expect it.
Which that was actually going to be my next question was, have they exceeded your expectations? I mean, to put a team out there where the, you know, the top five scorers on the team are either freshmen or sophomores, you know, it's not something that you see happen very often, that's for sure.
You have to be very careful on what's fair for a young team, and I wasn't sure what was fair. Was it fair to ask them to win another Big 12 championship? Was it fair to ask them to get a high seed in the NCAA tournament? So what I decided to do is step back and let them teach and show me what they thought was fair, and they sure did. And then as we kept playing, I realized this team just really, really is good together. They have great chemistry, and they're young, and they listen, and they're getting better every day. And they've just taken me for quite a ride.
You know, and you've got the pieces that all good teams have. You've got the point guard, who is really doing a phenomenal job in Nia Johnson, in, you know, leading the country in assists. You've got the stud post in Nina Davis, who is just one of my favorite players in the country to watch. And you've got the three-point shooters, Prince, Wallace, and Wright can all hit. I mean, this is definitely a team with a lot of talent.
Well, it is, and it starts with Nia Johnson. Nia Johnson is the engine that makes us go. She delivers the ball to the people at the right time. She makes everybody around her better, and she can score the ball herself. Nina Davis, what a remarkable story she is, an unheralded post player, undersized post player, comes in here and kind of hides behind Odyssey Sims last year and does her thing, has 17 rebounds against UConn. Odyssey graduates, and Nina doesn't miss a beat and leads our team. And then Alexis Prince's story of having set out the last 2 years because of foot surgeries. a young lady from Australia, Christy Wallace, Amani Wright, finally steps into a starting role. So as you can tell, there's so many question marks, and all of them have stepped up and just played well. And to think that we get to coach and see some of these kids for the next couple of years.
And, of course, the one, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the one that you're not going to be able to coach, unfortunately, after this year, and that is, you know, you're graduating.
Boone Abuki. She's my law school student.
And, yeah, so she's going to defend you in the future, is what it's
called. She'll be a great lawyer. We kind of pick on her and call her our locker room lawyer because she knows everything about everything. And Suni is on that floor because she's a great defensive player. And when you look at her, you don't really understand it. But then when you watch her play, how she anticipates things, how she's always there. She's a presence in the paint. She rebounds the ball. And you want seniors to have good years, and she's certainly having a great senior year.
You know, Coach, there was one question I wanted to ask you. Last week there was a question posed to Gino Auriemma, and that was, you know, what drives you more, desire to win or fear of losing? And you've had situations where you've had the team that everyone expected, you know, with Brittany and with Odyssey, those teams, everybody expected them to be where they are. This team, people didn't have as high expectations. They thought they would be very good, but maybe not to the level that, you know, as you said, nobody really expected them to be this good. Is it a different kind of enjoyment? Do you enjoy it more coaching a team like this that gives you that kind of surprise where you don't have those expectations? Do you get to enjoy it when you have those kind of expectations on a team?
Oh, I enjoy the underdog role. I've always enjoyed that. I think that when you're in a position to be the one that everybody is hunting, as we have been several years here at Baylor, and sometimes we've lived up to expectations and sometimes we haven't, but I've always enjoyed playing with a chip on my shoulder and having the mentality that I'll show you, as opposed to thinking that we are all that or that we're the team to beat. I just, I don't know, it's just my personality, but I think I'm driven because of fear of failure. I'm driven because I want to succeed. I think any great coach and player will tell you they probably remember the losses longer than enjoying the wins, because there's not many times that they lose, but those losses just really eat at them, and it motivates them.
And I think that's what also makes some of the players as good as they are, the ones that exceed expectations. And, you know, that's when I watch Nina Davis out there, that's what I see, is I see somebody that expanded her game from last year to this year and just seems, you know, to take it personally if she doesn't get the rebound or if she doesn't get the put back in or whatever the case may be.
She's just a competitor, and that's not something you teach. You're born with that. You look at her, and somebody said, describe her to me, and I said, well, I can't. I can tell you she's an undersized post player. I can't tell you she has a very good shot. I can't tell you how she gets those rebounds. You just have to watch her. And I said, you know, she's just not somebody you can write on a piece of paper and describe. You have to be around her every day. You have to watch her play the entire game, and the game's over, and she's just beating everybody that is supposed to, or at least looks like they're supposed to, be the dominant player out there.
You know, now, you take a look at the current bracketology or what Charlie Cream does, and they've got you as the number two, of course, playing at home to start, which is always nice. Staying in Oklahoma City, where Dawn Staley's South Carolina team they have is the number one seed. You know, I look at the team there, and they remind me a lot of some of the older Baylor teams.
Well, South Carolina, I've watched them a few times on television. The thing that impresses me the most is how aggressive they are going to the offensive boards. They're big, first of all. They have great size in the paint, but it's how aggressive they attack the boards. And anybody that plays them or has an opportunity to play them, that better be the first thing you write on your scouting report, is keep them off the offensive boards.
Yeah, so as you get ready with your team now, you know, your practices are still ongoing, of course, and, you know, what do you do with a team this young to help keep them driven in the right direction and not overwhelmed by the circumstances of playing in the NCAA tournament, but yet still wanting to, you know, drive them for all you can to get as much out of them as possible?
Well, right now we're on spring break, and we don't play again until after the selection show on the 16th, so we have some time. You give them some days off. You rest their bodies and their minds. But then when you come out on the floor, you go hard for about an hour, hour and 20 minutes, and you let them go. And then you, again, give them a few days off to just step away from the game. And then you go to work. When you know who you play, you put the scouting report before them, and you get on that floor, and you get it done.
Do you enjoy all of the prelude, or are you the type of person that you wish you would just get it started right away?
Well, we've been fortunate to have it where it starts right away in the past. I think it's just been this maybe the second year that we've had this much of a break in between the end of the tournament and the NCAA tournament. Right now, I enjoy the break because it allows me to step away and go watch my son play college baseball at LSU. And yet, back when I didn't want that break, I wanted to get back on the floor as soon as possible. So it doesn't matter. Either way, you got to go play the game.
You can always rationalize something good and bad out of everything, right?
Absolutely. You just got to play the game. Tie your shoes. Tip it off, and may the best team win.
Well, Coach, you know, more times than not, that best team has been yours, and it's always fun to watch them, and it's always fun to watch that kind of style of play. I love the aggressiveness. I love the way they attack on both ends of the court, and it makes for compelling theater, which is really all we're in is the theater business.
Well, you know, we're in sports, and sports is about entertainment. And but while you're entertaining, you have to be good. You have to be aggressive. You have to play defense. And we're going to get there. We're not by any means what I would call just a legit Final Four national championship team, but we're going to be. And we've got transfers sitting out in Alexis Jones, who will be eligible next year. We signed 5 in a great recruiting class that are big kids. And they're all going to get there, and hopefully it'll be sooner than later.
No question about it. You know, how's Alexis Jones' recovery from injury coming?
She's doing great. She's been cleared for months now. Both legs are fine, but we haven't asked her to do a whole lot this year. Let this year be a year of rehabilitation. Let it be a year that you're getting well. And she's at practice every day, and she's quite a talent. Let's hope when everybody will get to see her and they see her at her best.
No question. Between her and Nia, nobody's going to be able to get the ball away from you guys.
Well, I can tell you, they both deliver the ball to their teammates as good as anybody I've coached.
Coach, congratulations again on a tremendous season. I appreciate you taking time. Hey, good luck in the spring baseball season, too, for your son.
I heard
he's doing quite a good job down there.
He's doing fine. He opens up the SEC series this weekend against Ole Miss, and I'm going to fly there tomorrow, and I'm going to get to see all 3 games.
Good for you. That's the most important part.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, Coach. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.